Hello and welcome to the broadcast that we call Plain and Simple. We're going to start a series concerning the man called Elijah, a bold and fearless prophet of God. He's mentioned 27 times in the New Testament, more than any other prophet. Be sure and stay tuned for this series. As our story begins, Israel is in a mess. They've had a series of bad kings. Jeroboam, he made calves of gold and even set one up in Bethel, which is supposed to be the house of God. Then Nadab, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, his father, which was not good. And then there's Baasha, he murdered Nadab so he could take the throne. And then Elah, he was a drunken son of Baasha and was murdered by his successors. And then there was Zimri, he murdered Elah and took the throne. And then there was Omri, he did worse than all the others before him. And then Ahab, it says that he was the worst of all of them. This is the picture that we have when we see that Elijah comes on the scene. Truth is all but totally gone. Apostasy prevails in Israel. God has always had a remnant, but apathy prevails among the remnant. They are all hiding in caves. And we come to verse number 1, and it says, "And Elijah." And Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." What an interesting verse we have here. Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah, the stranger of the strangers of Gilead. He just came out of nowhere. Well, we have a witness for God's truth in the days of apostasy. We also have a remnant who should be witnessing in the days of apostasy. They are without excuse, but they had to make a choice. Everybody gets to make a choice. There's no excuse. God had Elijah on the scene. The unsaved had no excuse. There was always someone there with a message. Then the Christians, those who were believers in the Old Testament, they're all influenced by somebody. You're either going to be influenced by the promoters of apostasy, or we're going to be influenced by someone like Elijah. And it is simply a choice. During this apostasy, as we said, we have these simple little words, "And Elijah." The Bible says we're known by our words. Jesus said, "The abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Well, here we have Elijah's words. He says here in verse number 1, "As Jehovah liveth." He says there, "Before whom I stand." He said, Elijah said, "Jehovah is my God." We are known by our words. Here in a day of apostasy, Elijah stands up and tells everybody, including that wicked King Ahab, he said, "I stand before Jehovah. He is my God." And so we have two men here at the forefront. Elijah is one. Ahab is the other. We have a mountaineer and we have a monarch. Now, this is not a confrontation between two men. This is a confrontation between right and wrong. Right is scriptural, wrong is human reasoning. This is not a confrontation between two men. This is a confrontation between truth and treachery. It is a confrontation between the purity of the scriptures and the pollution of the scriptures, and we have a lot of that going on today. Well, we have Elijah the mountaineer. He hears from God, and God hears from him. And then we have Ahab, the monarch. He is the most wicked king that ever lived, but Elijah is not intimidated. There's no fear. There's no trembling. And so in these dark days of Ahab's apostasy, it was a crucial time in the history of Israel. 1 in 1,000 were not bowing the knee to Baal, and they were hiding. The fires of persecution were burning with fury. The schools of the sons of the prophets were closed, and the weeds were growing on the property. The prophets were being hunted down and slain by the sword. Hebrews 11 tells us that God's people were destitute, they were afflicted, and they were hiding in caves. Well, Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord did lift up a standard. That word here means a banner, and it was Elijah. He said, as Jehovah liveth, this is where I stand. Jehovah is my God. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years according to my word. What a great man this man Elijah was. Elijah, the devil had his worst on the scene in Ahab and Jezebel, and God had his best on the scene, and his name was Elijah. 1 Kings 19 and verse 14 says that Elijah was very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken his covenant and thrown down his altars and slain the prophets with the sword. Well, Elijah comes to Ahab and says, I want to give you a weather report here. I'm going to tell you that there's not going to be any more rain for a while. Now, it's interesting that at this point, there had not been any rain for 6 months. In James chapter 5, and verse number 17 and 18 says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. What's happening here? Well, what's happening is it hadn't been raining for 6 months at this time when Elijah came in to visit Ahab. And he comes in and he said, I want to tell you why it's not raining, because I prayed that it wouldn't rain. You see, what has happened here in the Old Testament, it had said in many occasions that if Israel rebelled, there would be no rain. And so here is this man Elijah somewhere out in a cornfield. Nobody seems to know where he came from. And it says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He is praying to God, say, why is it raining? All of Israel is turning against you, and it should not be raining. Let's stop the rain. And so God did, like he said he would do. And when he said, if Israel rebels, they'll have no rain. Well, it's not raining. So he says to Ahab, I did that. I prayed, and not only that, it's not going to rain again until I say it's going to rain again. Well, 3 years later, when he was on the mountain, we have it recorded again in James chapter 5. It says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That was on Mount Carmel. You remember the story. And he prayed there that it would rain, and they had a downpour of rain. Well, now we see in verse number 2, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Well, what is this all about? I'm thinking that Elijah's thinking, I'm coming in here, and I'm going to tell Ahab how it's going to be, and we're going to take over, and we're going to see God take things in control. No, that's not what's going to happen. We have a problem here. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Elijah, I want you to get out of here, and I want you to go hide by the brook Cherith. Why? Because we got to have a training program here. You can see a little bit of the self-righteousness coming out of Elijah, and we all have it. I think God is saying, Elijah, it's going to be according to your word. Now, I think what we need to do is get in the wilderness and have a little training before we can get to Mount Carmel. We've got to have a little training of God's servants. And he said, now go and hide thyself. And here's what's going to happen, verse 4. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Oh, great. How am I going to eat? Well, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The ravens? Well, what am I going to do now? He's going to do what any man of God who really is sincere does. It says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. Oh, before the Jordan. What does the Jordan represent? It represents death to self. God cannot use a dedicated self. What we need is a dead self. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Self needs to be crucified. And Ahab is going to learn all about that as he sits out here for a year, and maybe two, as he sits out here at the brook Cherith. Well, verse 6 says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. I can see Elijah watching that brook, and it's getting smaller, and it's getting smaller, and pretty soon it dried up. Well, verse 8 says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this is a tremendous test for Elijah. We have a confidence test at the brook. Do you really trust me? Yeah, I'm going to go here and do what you said. We have a cooperation test here. You going to let birds, ravens feed you? Yeah, we're going to do that. And now I think we're getting to the point where there's a comfort zone test. I mean, it could be that Elijah's starting to feel pretty comfortable out there. He's eating pretty good every day. He's got something to drink, and all of a sudden, everything begins to change. Now he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now he's going to leave the safety of Cherith. He's going to travel through Gentile country. At least Cherith was Israel. It's a 100-mile trip. How is he going to handle this trek on foot? How is he going to eat? Where is he going to get water? Everything's been drying up. He's going to learn to just trust God. Not only that, he's going into Jezebel country. This is where she came from. Her father was king there, and it was a stronghold of Baal worship. And then a widow is going to feed me? How humiliating is that? It was the prophet's responsibility to take care of widows. And now this widow is going to take care of me. There's a major test here for Elijah. And notice the word there is found in verse 9 twice. He said, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. If you're not there, it's not going to happen. What we need to do is determine that we are completely in the center of the will of God. If you're there, then God will take care of the situations. So we read in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, and she was gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, he's just had a 100-mile trek, and no doubt he is very thirsty. So there he is, there. That's where you will get the promise. God said, I will do this. Verse 4, verse 9. That's where you will get the provision. Verse 6. That's where you will get the power for the days ahead as we get you through your training program. That is also where I will protect you, and you will have the privilege of having a special opportunity of doing something very, very great for the cause of Christ. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, the widow woman was there. Now, we don't even have her name. We don't even know who she was. We do know that God commanded Elijah, and he went and did as he was told to do. God commanded the ravens, and they went and did as they were told to do. God commanded the widow in verse 9 here, and she did what she was told to do. Matthew 8:27 says, even the wind and the sea obey him. The best thing to do is to make sure that you're in the center of the will of God. You don't need to know all the details of what he's up to. All we need to do is be in the center of his will. Well, there it is, plain and simple. We'll tune in again tomorrow, and we'll have another session on the life of Elijah.